Are you mad at me?
No. Never been mad at you in my life.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the Friends Who Like Stuff podcast, the podcast where we talk to friends about the stuff we like. I'm John.
And I'm James.
And each week, we're joined by a third co-host to join in on the discussion.
And joining us this week is our dear friend who also likes stuff,
Josh.
Hey,
Josh. Hey.
Hey, what's up?
How are you, Josh?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's been a crazy couple weeks of work, but we're almost to the point where it's all downhill. So we're going to be very thankful when it gets there. But
awesome. Can you see the top of the hill?
I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm 85% sure that it's not an oncoming train. So
nice.
Cool. Speaking of work, I got to finally see your office today.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. John, I can see on your screen the check back there.
Yeah. Extra life. We finally did our check presentation to UMC Children's Hospital, and we got to keep the big check, which was a surprise. I didn't expect to get to keep the big check.
Yeah, I should have told you about that we get to keep it. But Scott and I knew because we handed those out, and that was they don't just put those out and just.
How many copies can we get?
I have no idea.
Should they offered some of the smaller ones too?
Yes, they did. Yeah. Could get one. I mean, honestly.
No, we don't need to spend the children's money, Josh.
I know, right? I felt bad about that. I know. I was like, I kind of want it, but I also, I don't want to spend your resources after we gave other people's money to you.
Yeah. Ask if it's like acceptable to get one for everybody, but like, yeah, it's totally okay if not.
Do we want to wait to ask that for whenever we present a check again?
Because
I think once we learned that we have the potential to be the top Extra Life earner for UMC, that kind of sparked a lot of our interests.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and thankfully it's the top Extra Life earner because the people who were giving their check presentation right before us, my gosh.
Yeah, they gave the so we gave $2,500 and the people in front of us gave away $125,000. So.
Yeah, the people in front of us doesn't mean like the people that are like ahead of us on the leaderboard.
No.
This is just like the people who were filming at the same time. It was the people who were
literally, they were literally in the studio today. What was weird is that usually when people come in for check presentations, they walk in and then they leave. Like they do their presentation and leave. But they walked in, presented, and then they just hung around for a while.
They watched us.
And I mean, I guess we also watched them do theirs. And so maybe that's why they thought they were supposed to. I don't know.
Yeah, but maybe so.
They hung around.
They came and shook all our hands and made us feel good. And we were like, we changed, you know, half a kid's life. we changed the rest of them.
Well, it was a neat experience. I'm ready to do it again.
It really was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all for the kids. It's not that we want to get the top earner.
No, but I mean,
but we do.
We do want to do that. And the fact that we're close really makes us like it's very feasible for us to become the top earner. We'll see if it'll actually happen, but it's definitely within the realm of possibility.
Let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen. Yeah.
So something else. So we just talked about what we've been doing, but something coming up is the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yes. One of my favorite days of the year.
What's that?
It's I was going to make a soup joke, but I feel like that one's been played out.
You know what they say.
It's never too hot for soup.
It's never too hot for Super Bowl.
James, it's like whenever, like if you're watching EPL and you're watching like the Champions League finals, it's like that.
Okay, so am I watching EPL or am I watching?
No, you're watching Champions League.
Champions League.
Because I don't remember what EPL's finals are called.
Because they don't really have finals. They don't have playoffs like we do. Because it's all just on a board.
Point system and yeah.
Now,
it apparently playoffs is a very American thing to do that they don't do.
Right, which is why our soccer league has playoffs and the leaderboard. And yeah. So we have the supporter shield for the accumulation of points like the EPL does, and then we have playoffs for the MLS Cup. So it'd be a little like the MLS Cup.
The NHL does that too. There's a Stanley Cup that you get for winning the Stanley Cup final, and then you get the President Cup goes out to the top point earner for the season.
Nice.
James, do you know how many times I've started EPL and not been able to finish the season? Because it gets like a little bit muddled once they start throwing in all the different points and who's moving up and who's getting relegated.
Promoted and relegated.
Yeah, I've watched like maybe 5 or 6 weeks in pretty seriously, and then I just lose track.
Well, there's that, and then there's like players get loaned out to teams.
Yeah.
Which is weird to me. Like it's strange.
It takes some getting used to, yeah.
And then like sometimes they'll just like take a break in the middle of the season to say like, hey, we're gonna go do something completely different, and these standings don't matter, and they're different.
Well,
when they do like the in-season tournaments, and
they'll do the UEFA Champions League stuff. A lot of that. Whenever they have a bunch of international games,
yes,
that's usually when there's a big break. So, like, there'll be a break for the Olympics. Probably there's always a break for the World Cup. And typically the World Cup is an off-season thing for them. So, but this last time in Qatar, there was a break. Anyway, the Super Bowl,
the Super Bowl. Yeah, it's like the World Cup.
It's like the World Cup. I do it every year
for the NFL.
I do have just
a little less, kind of disappointing,
intersecting news regarding football and football. It got announced that the World Cup final will be played in, I think, the Meadowlands, the New York, New Jersey area, and not Dallas, which was a strong possibility.
Yeah, Dallas has a semifinal.
I think Dallas is going to host 9 games, which is good.
It's the most of any of the stadiums.
Yeah, and we're going to go to one of them.
Yeah.
Chances are that it won't be a US.
June 17th, I think, is the first one. No, yeah, it's probably not. It's probably not.
But yeah, I mean, we've just got to go to a World Cup match.
Even if it's
Colombia and Saudi Arabia.
Absolutely. But yeah, it's going to be nuts because they're expanding it this year too. It's going to be like the most international football ever in a 15-day period. There's going to be like 83 games over 15 days.
It's crazy.
It's going to be crazy. Okay, back to the Super Bowl. You know what? It's okay.
Yeah.
Some things only come around every couple of years. The Super Bowl comes around every year, and it sometimes disappoints. And so...
Did I tell you that we're probably going to go to an Olympic soccer match in Paris this summer?
That's pretty neat.
Okay, Super Bowl.
Okay. Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's this Sunday.
So, Josh, tell us what the Super Bowl is.
The Super Bowl is the championship game for the NFL. It's one of the most watched television programs of the entire year, at the very least in the United States. It's estimated that 1 in 3 people watch the Super Bowl. So it's a big community event. It's a ton of fun. And especially if you don't have a dog in the fight, it's a lot of fun, which I have not had a dog in the fight my entire sports mature life. Most of the time, the only dog in the fight that I have had is that I don't want Tom Brady to win. And so I've been miserable several of those times. Yeah.
If you're one of those two out of the three who doesn't know what the Super Bowl is, I guess it wasn't
doesn't watch.
Well, if you've never heard the Super Bowl and Josh's explanation helped you out, would you let us know by emailing us at FWLS at
FWLSpot@gmail.com.
Sorry, I'm trying to steal your thing there, John.
So we, whenever we brought this up, we were talking about halftime performances in particular. Yes. And then that became pretty tough because I feel like we grew up at a weird time. Like, Josh, you're probably with me. We grew up at a weird time of Super Bowl halftime performances.
Yes, like, because of Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, because of the JT Janet Jackson whole thing.
Yeah.
And from then on, in middle school, high school, we didn't watch the halftime show anymore. We caught that at church.
Yeah.
We were in the youth room when that happened, and we never watched another halftime show.
Okay, so I do have to say, it was not just because of the wardrobe malfunction. Because before that, we had a Super Bowl with Britney Spears and NSYNC and Aerosmith all together doing this wild, weird thing that sucked.
Yes, but the next, I want to say, four Super Bowls after Janet Jackson were like the Rolling Stones, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, The Who,
Paul McCartney,
the Boss,
and my number four.
What's oh my gosh, what's his name? Bruce Springsteen. Like, they went, they're just like, hard left. We're gonna old guys. Just old. We need a palate cleanser for like 5 years, and then we can bring someone young again.
Dude, I know it's not a popular opinion, but that Tom Petty one almost made my list. I loved it.
I actually
the Bruce Springsteen one is great.
I went and looked through. There's somebody on Twitter said that they watched every single Super Bowl halftime show, and they went through and ranked all of them. And they said most of them were bad, but Tom Petty, he had Tom Petty pretty high on his list.
Good. Good for him.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. We never watched one after that until, and I didn't watch one until I guess 2011, 2010, something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway, it was kind of hard for us to nail down a top five of that. And so we just started including any of the Super Bowl moments, including the action.
We talked about
yeah, it became performances across the entire spectrum of the game, not just a halftime performance. Because the other thing for me is that there's very small portion of the Super Bowl halftime shows that I've been interested in off the bat, and so like my top five list was going to be a top one list because the rest of them, I'm just like, yeah, sure. I didn't hate them. I just like, meh.
Is that one on your list?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not going to try to guess it now, but I'm going to tell you if I guessed it whenever it comes up.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and get us started there, Josh, with your number five.
My number five is actually... is tertiarily related to the Super Bowl, but is not something that actually happened at the Super Bowl. So I apologize. But one of my favorite things that happened when John and I were kids was a lot of cartoons, like Cartoon Network did it a couple times. I know like Fox Kids did some things. They did a lot of like Super Bowl related marathons and things that like took their programming and made it about sports. The most memorable was that for 3 years, Cartoon Network aired a cartoon bowl, I guess. And the first year it was Sylvester versus Tweety. The second year is Wile E. Coyote versus Roadrunner. And the third year is Bugs versus Daffy. And you watched a Super Bowl thing that was just watching these old cartoons, but they added scores to it and they made a lot of fun. And I know Digimon did some stuff, and I missed there's just this brief window when they incorporated everything. And that was so much fun as a kid. Before I really appreciated what the sport was, I had a lot of fun with that.
Nice. I can dig it. That works.
Yeah. We'll count it. It's a performance.
The rest are all actually at the game performances.
did any of y'all have any commercials on your list?
No, I don't have any commercials.
Okay. I almost did. I've got one as an honorable.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I didn't think about commercials.
I didn't think about commercials either. Until
that would have been a good one.
Yeah.
We might have to do another list where we just do top five commercials.
We did that with Scott.
We did top five commercials with Scott?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did, yes.
Not Super Bowl commercials, just overall commercials.
I don't remember that. I don't think that happened.
Oh,
all right, my number five. My number five, I wrote something. I told y'all one thing. I told y'all about the Bluefish TV halftime show.
Yeah.
Where that's what we watched at church instead of the halftime show for the remaining 5 years that I watched it at church. But I'm shifting because I like this one better. This is an actual top five. This one happened at whenever Coldplay was the halftime show. And this was Joshua Jackson waiting on a particular song by Coldplay.
Yes.
And when it happened, it went down. It was it's all lit.
Yeah, I was extremely excited. When Coldplay got announced for the halftime show for Super Bowl 50, I was extremely excited because it was the first time that I saw a band or an artist and was like, I really like them a lot. And that's not to say that the rest of them I hated. I didn't really connect with them very much. And I really wanted, I was so desperate for them to play Fix You. And when they did, it was the best. It was the absolute best. So yeah,
The reason it's not higher on my list, by the way, is just because I will say that that was probably my favorite moment of watching the Super Bowl, but I put it on late and I don't want to get rid of my other ones.
No, you don't. That's fine. No, I appreciate that I made your list.
You did make my list.
Yeah.
So I don't think I watched that one with y'all. It was 2016.
Yeah, it was Broncos versus Panthers.
Yeah, I think I might have been over like Ken's house for that one.
Okay.
My number five is also from the Super Bowl. the 2007 season is the one where the Patriots had a perfect run up to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And it was right in the middle of the Brady Belichick dynasty. And as every sports fan knows, unless it is your team, we hate a dynasty. So if it were almost any other team that had a perfect regular season and was set to bring it all home that year, they probably would have been America's team and we would have been rooting for them to have that perfect season, like the Dolphins. But no. Instead, we wanted Goliath to fall. And thankfully, Eli Manning and the Giants were, strangely enough, giant killers, and it was amazing. They were huge underdogs. They had to play three road playoff games to get to the big one. And the game itself was a pretty low-scoring, very defensive game.
It was 17-14, was the final.
It was a very defensive game. But New York, even though they were losing during most of it, in the fourth quarter, had two reception touchdowns, clinched it, and it was an exciting quarter. But Eli Manning and those Giants, even after losing Plaxico Burress, or not Plaxico Burress, they lost. Plaxico Burress was one of the.
I think he caught the
touchdown. He got the game winner.
Yeah.
Crap. Anyway, I don't know. They were not expected to do well.
Mm-mm.
And they did, and so it was great.
Yeah, they had to. They went on the road. They beat Tampa on the road, which wasn't that big of an upset. But then they had to go to Dallas, who they lost to twice during the season. And then beat Dallas, and then beat Green Bay, and that was supposed to be Brett Favre's swan song in Green Bay.
So that's one of the things that made it hard for me to root for the Giants. Thankfully, the Patriots made it easier.
Yeah,
but I really wanted Green Bay to go that year. But then looking back on it, who cares about Brett Favre's swan song after he? Gave the Packers the finger by going to Minnesota.
Yeah. All right.
Well, but yeah.
Number four?
That was a real downer. Just kidding.
Yeah, number four.
My number four is one performer from Katy Perry's halftime show for Super Bowl 49. That is Left Sharp. incredible. The memes that came out of it are amazing. Left Sharp. I don't think I need to say anything else about that. Left Sharp is great. So, one of my favorites.
Okay, nice.
Yep, we'll post that on our socials or something. So that everybody who isn't familiar with it can understand.
Yes.
All right. My number four is our Texas Tech boy, Patty Mahomes, in his first Super Bowl in 2020, down 10 points with only 7 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. He's marching down the field, right? He had been marching down the field. Turnover, gets the ball back, starts marching down the field again. They're 30. Takes a snap, drops back almost 10 yards, like scrambling just a little bit.
On third and 15.
Yeah, third and 15, and just unleashes a 55-yard all-air throw to Tyreek Hill, who is just open way so far down that I'm sure the safety was just there, like, just in case. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody else is back there. And Tyreek Hill has to come back for it a little bit, but catches it. And that's then their first down, and they're at least going to make a field goal. They're going to at least get on the board and then have a chance to score again to tie it up at the very least. But that led to the touchdown by Travis Kelce. And then later on, they were able to score again. And man, I remember when that throw happened and just going wild with the entire group of Texas Tech people that I was with. So it was great.
That's nice. Speaking of America hating a dynasty, and they're not even a dynasty yet. If they win this on Sunday, I guess they'll.
They're pretty close. They're a dynasty.
They're close enough
right now. But man,
they've been to.
He is. He is just as hated as, if not more, than Tom Brady was. Maybe not quite.
I think he's actually. It's the people around him that people don't like.
Well, right. I mean, maybe people, so, but
people don't like his brother. People don't like his wife, and the wife. I don't really understand that one. The brother one. He deserves a lot of it, but.
I get a lot of Mahomes is just a crybaby.
He's been more so this year, but that hadn't been his mantra. Well, I hadn't seen it.
And like he complained about a ref once.
Yeah.
And And just like every other player worth their salt, they will try to call for flags on the field. But he's not a crybaby, but people hate him anyway. The whole save us Lamar was ridiculous. And it was...
Gotcha.
Yeah. And it was fun to drink the Baltimore tears.
Yep. Anyway. Either die a hero or live long enough to become the villain.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Anyway, my number four. So Josh, the year after the wardrobe malfunction, when the NFL decided to play it safe and started bringing in all of the classic rockers, Paul McCartney was the first. You didn't list him.
I had forgotten about 39.
Yeah. But it is no secret that the Beatles are my favorite band. And so I love just about anything that's Beatles or Beatles adjacent. And he started off with some of their hits and then he went into some Wings stuff, but then he ended with an incredible performance of Hey Jude that had the entire stadium singing. And, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm cutting this out. Not uplifting, not elevating. It is transcendent. So that's my number four. It's Paul McCartney's halftime show.
I have bad memories of 39 because it was the Eagles versus the Patriots. And I was in seventh grade and I hated... Mm-hmm. The Patriots, and I hated the Eagles. And then the NFL did it again in Super Bowl 52. And I hated the Eagles and I hated the Patriots. So it was great.
Their script had them come back?
Yeah, the script had them come back. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, number three. My number three Super Bowl performance is my favorite halftime show, Coldplay. The Coldplay halftime show is top-notch. Had a blast. It was, the euphoria that I felt whenever I heard Fix You getting played was just terrific. So, and John pretty much covered it. And I don't know that I have much to add, but it's a fun Super Bowl. It's a good show to begin with, just because Bruno Mars and Beyonce both show up and have really special performances. Mm-hmm. And, it's a good time. I was really surprised when I was going through that list I was talking about earlier. I expected Super Bowl 50 be near the bottom of their list, but they had it ranked number three. So I was like, cool, great. I guess that's good. So
my number three happened in 2015. I don't remember what Super Bowl that is because it takes too long to read the
49 rules.
Okay, so 49. Last play of the game. Seattle Seahawks hand off to Marshawn Lynch and he goes in and scores a touchdown because I'm just about that action boss and I'm just here so I don't get fined. I leave my number three actually blank because that didn't happen. Go, James.
Okay, well, so my number three is also from Super Bowl 49 and I knew this one was going to be painful for John, and it's kind of painful for me too. Just because I hate the Patriots. But I know you love the Seahawks, and so this one sucks. But when they were just mere yards away from either winning the game or at the very least putting it into overtime, but Malcolm Butler just had the most clutch interception. And as a rookie... You know, and this is just incredible, and put the Seahawks' dream of winning to rest. It was an unfortunate play, and I didn't hate it, but I have to give props where they are due, and that was pretty rad for him. And so my number three is not the Patriots in Super Bowl 49, but is just Malcolm Butler.
I stopped watching the game after that. I couldn't even stomach watching Tom Brady kneel it out and just like, no.
No.
I think that was the reaction from a lot of folks.
That hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Number two. I'm going to go ahead and preface that I would have listed multiple Dallas Cowboy players on this list, but I wasn't aware of how good they were whenever they were playing in the Super Bowl, because I was three or five or whatever. So there's no Dallas Cowboys on this list, but there is an old man quarterback on this list, and that's Kurt Warner. In Super Bowl 43 against the Pittsburgh Steelers, Kurt Warner, the Steelers that year had an incredible defense. They got to the Super Bowl because of their defense. And Kurt Warner was a washed up, past his time quarterback who had no business getting to the playoffs with a bad Arizona Cardinals team, let alone being able to get to an NFC championship game and being able to get to the Super Bowl. But he had a season, he threw for the most yards against Pittsburgh that year. I think he wound up throwing about 380 yards with three touchdowns and a pick. They lost Super Bowl 43, but it was an old gunslinger with one last good show. And Kurt Warner is just his post playing career has been, he's just been really sharp in the booth. He's an excellent analyst. And so I'm very endeared to him. So good job, Kurt.
Excellent.
His performance in Super Bowl, well, I can't remember what it is. I want to say 35 maybe against Tennessee was also very good. I think he threw for 400 yards, which was the most until probably like Nick Foles in 52.
Nice. All right. My number two, I'm going to go with a halftime show. Just because that's what we were talking about earlier. And it actually is a pretty good memory. This was the first halftime show that I remember watching and thinking, oh, this is fun. And this was 2011 when the Black Eyed Peas performed. And it... I'm not saying it was good. I'm not saying it holds up, but it was the first one in forever that I remembered. What are you laughing at?
The list that I was talking about?
That's got to be close to the bottom.
It was last place.
They did some fun ones. They did the songs that everybody knows, Boo Boo and Pow and Got a Feeling, right? No, and those are fun enough songs. I think this might have been the first halftime show that I watched since 2004.
Yeah.
So you got to give me a little bit of
I
didn't watch any of the other ones, and so watching this one, I was like, oh yeah, this is fun. They had the football pads, the weird football pad things on, and yeah,
it was a hard left from the Super Bowl prior. Do you know who played the Super Bowl prior?
Was it that one, Bruce Springsteen? Or no, who was it? It was Prince.
It was The Who.
Oh. Who? Prince did one too.
Prince did 41.
Prince did. His is a great show. Is
beloved. Beloved. It was number one.
Playing in the Rain.
Oh.
Yeah.
Doing Purple Rain in the Rain.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and watch some of these then, I guess. If there are a couple that they said were good. Because one I like is really bad.
Dude, hey, no. Like what you like, man.
Yeah, this is your favorites. It's so funny.
Let me get that.
I also remember watching it and being like, yeah, this is fine. And then I also remember Facebook being like, this is the worst halftime show I've ever seen. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I had a good enough time. So.
Yeah. All right, James, you're up.
All right. I want to talk about a great halftime show. So my first Super Bowl memory was of 27. Back in 1993, that was the first Dallas Buffalo Bowl. And we went over to some family friend's house to watch it on their big screen TV because we were all Dallas fans and it was exciting. And at the time, I was really only a fan because my big brother was. I was still really young. But I mean, I remember the Cowboys. I remember knowing who the players were. I remember loving Aikman and Smith because my brother did, and since he did, I did too. But anyway, I think of that game anytime I even think about Super Bowl halftime shows. Period. That is my first thought ever. Always is Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
at Super Bowl 27. It was such an exciting and anticipated show because this was really the first of like the superstar musician spectacle concert shows, right? Up until then, they were still doing like marching bands and dancers and sometimes some well-known but out of their prime singers. But this one, man, it was huge. Like the closest it might come today is Taylor Swift. But even she doesn't have that same kind of popularity that MJ did at that time.
No, MJ is universally beloved, and people hate the Chiefs because Taylor Swift is connected to the Chiefs. So right. It was, yeah. I think when I was, that set the bar for all Super Bowl halftime shows afterwards.
It really, really did.
People saw that and were just like, oh, the halftime show can be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So
I remember the show vividly. I remember that show more than I remember most other halftime shows, even the recent ones. James Earl Jones announced.
Wow.
Yeah. And I very vividly remember seeing Michael Jackson dancing on a jumbo screen in the corner of the stadium and then flying up out of view until he was literally on top of the screen. And then another screen at a different part of the stadium, he was dancing on there and then flew up out of view and then was on top of the screen, dancing on top of the not the Jumbotron, but it was just a huge screen. And I was still pretty young at the time and thought that it was really him.
Yeah.
And I was just like, how is he getting there so fast? But then it went to the center stage and he just flew out of it and landed. And he stood stone
he stood silent.
Still for a solid minute, maybe two. And the entire stadium just would not shut up, going freaking nuts. And then Jennifer Batten plays a riff and it was on. Yeah. Man, the crowd never lets up. Like I went back and watched it in preparation for this, even though and it was pretty much what I remembered. The crowd never lets up. Like you can hear them going crazy throughout the entire performance. And it's something special. So that is my number two.
Do you know where that Super Bowl was played?
It was the Rose Bowl.
It was the Rose Bowl. Probably the most classic football stadium hosting the most iconic Super Bowl halftime show is just about as good as it gets. So
indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible. All right. My number one Super Bowl performance is not by a singer and not by a player, but by a head coach. One Sean Payton in Super Bowl 44. Sean Payton, in my estimation, Drew Brees was phenomenal and that team was good, but Sean Payton, in my estimation, is the single reason why New Orleans won a Super Bowl. He had an incredible game plan to beat Peyton Manning, who looked unbeatable that year. I mean, Peyton Manning and the Colts were unstoppable. And he realized, hey, the best way to beat Pete Peyton Manning is to not let him have the football. So I'm going to start the second half with an onside kick. And I was rooting for the Colts very hard because I had a thing against New Orleans at the time. I've now gotten over it. And I just incredible job by Sean. Incredible, incredible, incredible job by Sean Payton. So,
well, there you go. I've never had a thing against the Saints, but I was rooting for the Colts because I just absolutely love Tony Dungy.
Oh, he wasn't the coach at the time.
Was he not coaching then? Who was coaching at that time?
That was Jim Caldwell. Yeah, okay. Tony Dungy retired in between 41 and 44. I don't remember when, but he retired.
Okay. Well, I still have a soft spot for the Colts, and I like Peyton Manning anyway.
Yeah.
We're going to have a list, have you back, and make a list of the top 31 teams that you don't like, Josh.
Okay. That'd be perfect.
Oh, man. My number one is an upcoming Super Bowl event whenever Travis Kelce proposes to Taylor Swift. I'm just kidding. I just wanted to say something provocative and get the clicks on this here podcast. If you don't like it, you can email us at fwlspod@gmail.com. My real number one was in 2014. Josh, what Super Bowl is that? 48?
2014. Yeah,
Super Bowl 48.
Seahawks and Broncos.
Yeah, Seahawks and Broncos. Which was the third biggest point differential in Super Bowl history at the time. Maybe ever still. That may still hold up. I don't remember. No, fourth now? Fifth now? Anyway.
I think the biggest one was 55-10.
No, the third biggest.
Oh, third biggest? Oh, yeah. I don't know.
It is the biggest point differential for an underdog team. Playing the Broncos, right? We are up. I say we. Seattle was up 17-0 at the time, I think. It must have been 15. Yeah. I think it was 15.
It was a weird score because you started with a safety.
Yeah, started with a safety. That almost made my list, but then I thought that's more bad on the Broncos than the Seahawks. So started the second half. First half, flipping the coin, Seattle won the coin toss and elected to kick the first half, saying, we want to be on defense, just going back to the Legion of Boom, which was amazing. Second half, Seattle is receiving the kick. Percy Harvin receives the kick. I think it was off the bounce, and he receives it at like the 13-yard line. And he ran it all the way down for the touchdown. 87 yards to the house. And this set the tone. Well, I mean, the tone was kind of already set, but there was no stopping after that.
And yeah, it put the game out of reach.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. Loved it. Percy Harvin, you know, making plays as a receiver, as a kick returner. Like, it was just awesome. And it really felt like the whole team was... Like, sometimes you feel like one player's putting the team on their back, you know? Like if a quarterback is doing just phenomenal, like, you can attribute so much to them. This truly was every single player at every position. Like, there were, like, three interceptions by three different backs. And it was just, like, just awesome stuff. Legion of Boom. Boom. Marshawn Lynch. Yeah. Well, I wasn't listing everybody. I was just like the people that I've been talking about. But
yeah.
No,
that was crazy because it was like you had Seattle, who was really known for their defense. They had a good, they had a decent offense, mm-hmm. but was like revered for their defense. And the Broncos, who had this unstoppable offense with Peyton Manning. And it was these polar opposites going against each other, and Denver crumbled. Just never stood a chance. It was crazy.
Nope. It started from their first possession whenever they got a touchback.
when they had the safety.
A safety, yeah. It was the weirdest score ever. 5-0 to start the game.
Mm-hmm.
5-0 after a field goal, but yeah. Yeah, that's my number one.
Well, there you go.
Seattle won the Super Bowl, baby.
There you go.
That's pretty neat.
My number one also involves Denver and the Broncos. Broncos. So by the time the Super Bowl 32 came about, I was already solidly in my love of the Packers. So it might surprise you that I was actually rooting for Denver to win in 1998. And this should probably have been my number two and Michael Jackson my number one, but it is my number one for one reason. Favre already got his ring 2 years prior.
Yeah, yeah.
But for a legend like John Elway to not have one at that time, it was a travesty because he was so near to retirement. And had they not won, he probably would have retired that year had they not gone into the Super Bowl. And he did retire the next year after winning the Super Bowl.
Winning his second ball, yeah.
Yeah. But he had already been to and lost 3 Super Bowls. So I was all on board for him finally getting it. And he did in spectacular fashion when he kept the ball and ran for a first down in the final minutes of the game. Yeah, had that iconic helicopter dive.
Yeah.
Got the Broncos in a position to score the winning touchdown. It was an exciting moment and one well-deserved. So because a legend got his ring, that is my number one. Had Dan Marino ever had that moment, he might have made this list as well.
Yeah. Do you know why I remember that game so vividly, James?
Why? You were like, what, because, 8?
Man, it was 98. I would have been 6.
Okay.
But the reason why I remember it so vividly is because there was a Third Rock from the Sun episode that premiered immediately after the Super Bowl was over. And I think it began with John Lithgow running out onto the field of the actual Super Bowl.
Oh, because really?
I think NBC aired the Super Bowl that year, and they were just like, make sure to stay tuned afterwards for a special episode of Third Rock from the Sun. And he sprinted out onto the field, and he was in character.
Right.
And then that him doing that like led into the episode. It was about the events that led to him sprinting onto the field of the Super Bowl.
Okay. You know what? I loved Third Rock from the Sun. I didn't love it, but I really enjoyed it.
I don't remember hardly anything about it, except that there was an episode that happened after the Super Bowl, and my parents let me stay up and watch it. Even though I wasn't a fan of Third Rock from the Sun.
Y'all got any honorable mentions?
Mine was just Bluefish TV. Yeah. Go look up The Butterfly Man. It's like a parody of the Batman.
Okay.
Or not the Batman, just Batman Begins. And they shot the trailer like almost scene for scene, but it's like him with butterflies and yeah.
Okay. I'll look it up.
Von Miller in Super Bowl 50 was pretty impressive. When Peyton got his last ring. Actually, the most incredible moment from that Super Bowl is Peyton wins his ring. He basically goes and says he's retiring. And one of the first people who meets him after the game is over is Papa John himself.
man.
What is he? Why is he there? It's incredible. So that was a fun one.
That's funny. So Tom Petty would have been on my honorables. And then the commercial that I remember the most. It's not you can't find it on any of the best commercials lists, and I wish you could. It was when Miller Genuine Draft was doing they had a series of commercials that were all pretty funny, but there was one where it was in an old West saloon, and this grungy cowboy just stands up from his table and then just starts singing, "Adios, amigo. Adios, my friend. It seems our sorrows have come to an end." Anyway, he just starts singing and walking in a direction, and all the other guys in the saloon are standing up as he walks by, taking off their hats, putting them over their heart. And it's just this really heartfelt song as he walks into the bathroom to pee away his Miller Genuine Draft. Anyway.
Neat.
Yep.
We're going to do a Super Bowl commercial one at some point. Maybe as a follow-up. Or maybe we'll save it for next year. There we go. Well, anyway, that's a wrap for today's episode of Friends Who Like Stuff. Thank you for listening to us talk about our favorite Super Bowl performances.
And as always, let us know what yours are. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and you can also email us where, John?
FWLSpod@gmail.com. You can also watch us every Thursday evening on Twitch. And please tune in next time as we dive into a better list with another better friend. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. With a new list with another friend. I'm just kidding, Josh. This was good. This was fun.
What the listeners don't know, and I don't know if this is going to make the podcast, is that John and I had a very heartfelt conversation on the phone yesterday where we just told each other that we love each other. So, but because I felt I had been a very good friend to him recently. But it was all good. We're good.
Yeah. But I'm still mad at you. I'm just kidding. I know.
No.
That's the worst thing to say to Josh and Scott.
That is. My biggest fear is that someday I'm going to playfully ask somebody, "Hey, are you mad at me?" And they're going to look at me and say, "Yes." And then like mean that they are actually mad at me. And I'll be like, "I'll never ask this question ever again. I will never for the rest of my life ask this question."
Oh, man. All right. Well, until next time, keep exploring and enjoying the stuff that you're passionate about. And thanks for being a friend who likes stuff.
Bye.
Bye.
That's a liquor dog.